Well, I greet you today in Jesus' name. This is Steve Clark, and it's a pleasure to be able to share on the Daily Inspiration, and I'm glad that you called in today. God bless you. Well, I hope the message yesterday and the day before were an inspiration to you, and I'm trusting and praying that today will also be an inspiration as we're considering the body of Christ. And for review of the last 2 days, that's what we're talking about is the body of Christ. And I would just beg you to please go back and listen to those messages, day 4, the 4th day of the month, and day 5, the 5th day of the month. Today is day 6. So we talked about on the 4th day, we talked about the body of Christ, the physical body that came to this earth, the strong, healthy body. That was 2 days ago on the 4th. And then yesterday, it was the body of Christ that was broken, that was beaten, that was crucified for you and I. And I really would encourage you to listen to that message on the 5th, talking about the broken body of Christ that was crucified for you and I. Well, today we're going to consider what Jesus died on. He died on a cross. And he was given that cross to drag up the hill. He was given that cross to carry to his own death, that he would be dying on that cross. And this wasn't a new thing. This was something that the Romans had been doing for a while. And this is a way to execute the evildoers, to punish those who were bad for the kingdom of Rome. This was a very cruel death. It was a very painful death. And even after the beatings and after the scourgings and after the ridicule and the mocking and all of the things that Jesus went through, he had to drag that cross up the hill. Well, his physical, strong, healthy body wasn't strong anymore. It wasn't healthy anymore. It was bruised. It was beaten for you and I. And he carried that as far as he could until he couldn't go any further, and they had someone else carry it for him. That cross was made of wood. It was an instrument of death. Sometimes we see people wearing jewelry of a cross, or we see a cross in different places, even on church buildings. It wasn't a pretty thing. It wasn't a piece of jewelry. It was a thing to die on. It was a thing to be slaughtered with or to have a painful death on. It wasn't a pretty thing. It was a very bloody, ugly thing. And maybe it even had been used before. I don't know if it was a new cross or an old one. It had blood stains from the last person that got killed on it, and from the one before that, and the one before that. And so this was a very painful death. When they nailed the feet together and they nailed the nails through the hands, that was what he was hanging on. The person was hanging on that. Jesus was hanging on those nails and had to push himself up to get a breath of air. And then as his body became weak, and he would slump down, but then he needed another gasp of air, so he'd have to push himself and pull himself up. And they could last for hours that way, for a long time. Even people lived quite a while on that cross, just suffering. So that was what Jesus died on, was that rugged cross. That body of Christ, that strong, healthy body, broken, beaten, and nailed to that cross. Well, think about the cross itself. It has two parts, one vertical and one horizontal. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, turn there, 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So this verse tells us that there's one mediator between God and between man, and it's the man Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on that cross as a mediator between God and man. And there's two parts of that cross. There's one horizontal and one vertical. I believe that that wasn't just a coincidence. The vertical one going up and down was pointing towards God. That represented the direction of God. And then the horizontal one would represent the direction towards man. It was a cross with two parts, a vertical and a horizontal. Jesus was a mediator between God and man in, I believe it's 2 Corinthians. Let's see if I can find the verse that I was just thinking of. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, starting with verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Yeah, I guess I need to go back a little bit. Verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." So Jesus, we were reconciled to God, the Father, through Jesus Christ. You and I, sinners, reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And then he's given us the ministry of reconciliation, that we would reconcile others to God. But it's also through Jesus Christ. So this cross had two parts, one vertical towards God and one horizontal towards man. Jesus died as a mediator between God and man. His strong, healthy body was broken for us. And after his death, his body was placed in a tomb. And then 3 days later, he rose from the grave and received a different body. This is a body that was a glorified body. I believe it probably looked different, although there were similarities. He still had the nail prints in his hand and his feet and in his side, the sword that was thrust into his side. As Thomas wanted to see those before he would believe, but also those that were on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him. So I think maybe his body looked a little bit different. And but it also was a body that could walk through walls. It could be in different places, you know, not at the same time, I don't think, but it could go. It wasn't hindered like our physical bodies was. So it was a glorified body in some way. Not exactly sure how that was or how that looked. But there's another body that Jesus has. Not just that glorified body, but he has another body. And it's, we can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're talking about in this series about the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Talking about the church, that we are the body of Christ. Verse 25, it says, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And then it goes on and gives some of the different assignments or duties or offices of the body, the church. And so Jesus has another body. We're talking about the body of Christ. We looked at the physical body of Christ. We looked a little bit at the glorified body of Christ, but he has another body, and that's the church. In Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1 makes it very clear. I'm going to start with verse 18. It says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints," talking about the church there, "and what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe," the church, "according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought," or which he worked in Christ, "when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." So the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So this is the body of Christ now. He is the head, it says here. He's the head over all things. But we, the church, are the body of Christ. And I trust that you are part of a local church. If you're not, you should be. You can't have a meaningful Christian life without being a part of a local church. Now, I know there's exceptions to that. There's times when people are in prison or various, you know, things of persecution and things like that where they weren't actually in a local body of Christ. But for us, we can find ourselves in the body of Christ, and we should be serving in that body. We should be part of that body. We should be in unity with that body. We should be working together in that body. We should be a strong, healthy body, just like Jesus' physical body was strong and healthy. So this is what the body of Christ, this is what we're looking at here this week, is the body of Christ. We looked at Jesus' physical body, and now we look at this body that is the church that he talks about. And he's the head, and we're the bodies. We're members one of another. The first half of the book of Ephesians, it deals with the doctrine of the body of Christ, being in Christ. That's what the first half of the book of Ephesians is about. Later on in the book, it gets more practical, and it deals with the body of Christ being in Christ and the outworkings of that doctrine that we saw in the first part of the book. It's a very practical outworking of that doctrine. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, it says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." This is the body of Christ. This is that strong, healthy body of Christ, the church, that we would have Jesus as our head, and that with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering for one another, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling. So this is God's will for us as believers to be a part of a local body that is functioning together in a good way, that is meek and lowly, long-suffering, and forbearing one another in love. All these one anotherings in the Bible, this is one of them, forbearing one another in love, is all these in the New Testament, is talking about the church. You can't do that just you and yourself in your living room. We need to be a part of a local body, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. And so we're talking here about this church, the body of Christ. It goes on, it describes a few things there, and just jumping down here to verse 11, it says, and he gave some. He gave them to what? To the church. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we have pastors, we have apostles, we have prophets, we have evangelists, we have teachers for the edifying of this body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is Ephesians chapter 4. I just finished verse 13. And it's talking so clearly here about the body of Christ. And I'm just, my encouragement to us this week is to see ourselves as part of this body of Christ, that we need to be a part of a local church functioning and working together. Verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Jesus is the head, and we are the body, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, that's God's will for the church. Just as it was God's will for Jesus to have a strong, healthy body so that he could heal the sick, so he could raise the dead, so he could preach deliverance to the captives, so that he could preach the gospel to the poor, that he wants the church to be a strong, healthy body with Jesus Christ at the head, getting the direction, the order, keeping his commandments, as it says so many places in his word, that we would, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So I think I'm going to stop there. That was verse 16. And we're going to continue next time, right there, starting then with verse 17, and looking at more here in Ephesians chapter 4. About the body of Christ and the practical outworking of that body. So God bless you. Thank you for calling in. If you want to leave a voicemail, you can do that by pressing 099 on your phone, and that will bring you to our mailbox, and you can leave your message there. God bless you, and thank you for calling in.